You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Auckland Council's Community Committee has sent a please help letter to the government after reports from their community impact team showed a 53% rise in the number of people sleeping rough over the past 4 months. This follows changes last year by the Ministry of Social Development to the rules surrounding emergency housing, introducing stricter entry criteria and news requirements which make it difficult to stay. While Prime Minister Christopher Luxton earlier this week denied that these changes have led to an increase in homelessness, Housing First Auckland Program Manager Rami Al-Ridani said that outreach workers have been stretched thin, dealing with more and more homelessness every day. I spoke with Councillor Julie Ferry about the rise in homelessness in Tamaki Makaurau. As well, Auckland Council are trialling an AI digital assistant to help improve their customer support services. The Ask Auckland Council pilot, presented at February's Revenue, Expenditure and Value Committee, is being funded by Google Cloud at no cost to ratepayers. Auckland Council receives 1.5 million calls every year and coordinates region-wide services across multiple platforms. The new system is designed to bridge the gap between Aucklanders and digital services, reducing the effort required to seek out information. Starting on the topic of homelessness, I asked Julie if she was surprised to see a stark increase in the latest data around the number of people sleeping rough.
To be honest, not really, because I spend a lot of time in the city and moving around, and you can see it. You can see, if you're looking for it, you can see people living in pretty desperate situations, not just on the streets, but in cars. You can see tarped in balconies, which people have turned into living spaces, people living in garages, that kind of thing. And certainly what we're hearing from the community is that people are doing it really tough financially, and that there's still a big housing crisis in Auckland. So unfortunately, while the scale of it was quite shocking, the fact that it is worse was not a surprise.
Last year, the Ministry of Social Development introduced tougher rules for emergency housing with the aim of increasing the number of people reliant on emergency housing. Do you think this decision has led to an increase in homelessness rather than an increase in people transitioning into permanent housing?
Well, by the Minister's own figures, he said that 80% of those leaving emergency housing are going into some form of more permanent housing. So that leaves 20% who I presume aren't. So by their own figures, and if it's, we're talking about at one point, last year we had 735 households in emergency housing. 80% of that's 147 households who were not going into more permanent form of housing. So they have to be going somewhere. The fact that the government has stopped counting them does not mean that they disappear from needing assistance. And in a lot of cases, we know that these are really particularly vulnerable people. Who you know, perhaps have mental health issues, other health issues. It's really hard to live precariously and keep healthy. In a lot of cases, there are kids involved. And some of this we won't see because people do whatever they can to make it work. I used to work with someone who used to take overnight care jobs so that they would have somewhere to be overnight for several days of the week. And on other days of the week, they would rotate round different friends that they were staying with. They'd stay with one friend for a month and then another friend for another month, and all their belongings were in their car. And those kinds of stories, you don't see that person on the street. That person was turning up for their day job and for their extra night job, and wouldn't necessarily be counted in the stats, and yet that's a pretty desperate situation to be living in.
Māori people are overrepresented in homelessness figures, accounting for about a third of individuals on public housing waiting lists and nearly half of Auckland households in transitional housing as of November last year. In what ways does Auckland Council's approach to homelessness seek to address this inequity?
So we work basically as a sort of broker across different agencies who are working on this. There's a lot of amazing work happening. People are often familiar with the Auckland City Mission. They have this great building called Home Ground, which is amazing, but we need about six more probably of those, and they provide housing. There's Housing First, which acknowledges that, and this is an approach that's been proven internationally, which Auckland Council supports and supports the agencies who are working on it, that once you have housing, you have secure housing, then you can address a lot of the other issues that might be going on for someone, which may have ended up in them being homeless. And so all of those initiatives need to take into account different needs for Māori. It might not be that the house looks different, but it might be that the services that someone needs to access to be able to connect to their whakapapa, to be able to have their mātauranga respected and acknowledged, those might look different. And so one of the key agencies we work with is one called Kahui Te Kaha, which is particularly focused on, they help all comers if they can, but they've just had their funding contract with central government restricted, so that they will soon only be funded to deal with people who are escaping immediate abuse. And that's going to radically cut down the number of people that they are able to help, that they are funded to help. One of the other things is that, you know, one of the reasons this is such a big problem for Māori is because they tend to be people with lower incomes for a variety of reasons. And we have so much less social housing and affordable housing. Private rentals have become very expensive in a lot of parts of the city. And if you do find a cheap place to live, often it's further from the services that you need. So you just replace high housing costs with higher transport costs. And so as a council, one of the things we really need to get on top of to tackle homelessness is actually the housing crisis, which we still have. And government, unfortunately, has paused a lot of the building of social housing, including in my own neighbourhood, which is incredibly frustrating.
Auckland Council has committed yearly funding of $500,000 over the next 3 years to respond to homelessness. How will these funds be used?
Well, as I said, it's a lot of it's about brokering. So we have a number of people who hold a huge amount of expertise and the relationships in this area. So some of that will end up being grants to help particular groups who are doing this work. There's also a particular focus on young people, and I want to just also make the connection, which I think will be particularly interesting to your audience, that there is a disproportionate number of people who are homeless who are queer. And so I want to make that connection between the fact that, you know, it's not homelessness funding, but the fact that council supports the Pride Festival and stands up for inclusivity, that is stuff that contributes ultimately to more acceptance of the queer community and means that queer rangatahi are less likely over time, hopefully, to have to leave home, become homelessness because they are rejected by their family, which unfortunately is a common story for young people who end up on the streets. Well, not on the streets, living in a car or living on people's couches or, you know, other ways that are less visible but still homeless.
Moving on to my next topic, Auckland Council has announced the implementation of AI tools to support the improvement of customer service. What were some of the drivers behind this decision?
So basically we have a piece of work, it's a bit of a council term, isn't it, a bit jargony. We have this work we've been doing for a while now called Group Shared Services, which sounds like you know, what does that mean? And what it basically is looking across the whole organisation. We employ, you know, 8,000 plus people, have many other people who work for us delivering contracts, connections with community groups. You know, we run heaps of libraries and community centres and pools, and a lot of those things have had over the years separate systems. And so the Group Shared Services work is about looking at all of those separate systems and as much as possible sort of bringing them together. Mostly driven by a cost efficiency motive, but also making it easier for people to, you know, people outside of council, but also people inside council, to access information, to access connections and that kind of stuff. So the AI assistant stuff is to specifically help people to find information from us that might be held across multiple council websites. So they will just interact with one point and be able to ask that AI assistant questions, and the AI assistant will in the background be searching through all those separate council databases and websites and stuff, and then popping the answer up for the constituent, for the resident. And so it's very much early days, and it's still got to be trialled, but in time we'll be able to expand it so that it's not just in the three official languages of New Zealand, two official plus English, but also in a variety of other languages as well that will better serve our multicultural community.
Some complaints surrounding customer service with Auckland Council highlight the lack of personable human interaction involved in the experience of receiving support. Are you concerned about exacerbating these kinds of issues by implementing an AI initiative?
I think we can hopefully get that right, but what it will also mean is that if with those really simple queries that people have where they get bogged down and which website and, oh, that's not quite what I wanted, will it click me through to what I want, and then you sort of go down these rabbit holes. Hopefully the AI assistant will be able to deal with a lot of those queries where people potentially get frustrated very quickly and simply, and that will mean that the ones where people do need to actually do need to talk to a person about this, we will have more capacity to deal with those with a person. So they will be able to wait times that aren't as long when they do need to make a call, that kind of stuff. It will also be a tool that's potentially available to our librarians, to our people on reception at a pool or whatever. And so it will hopefully make all of those points of contact where, yes, you're talking to a person, but they might be using the AI assistant, easier as well, as opposed to people just having to say, look, no, I can't help you with that. You need to go to the website. So, it's very early days and we just have to see how this works. I myself have had not particularly great experience with chatbots and stuff, so I maintain a little bit of scepticism, but I'm glad that we're doing the work, and at this point it hasn't cost ratepayers anything because Google and Deloitte have been happy to do that work with us for free from our point of view, so it's definitely worth trying.
In what other ways is Auckland Council seeking to incorporate technology and innovation into its services?
So we've had some really interesting stuff around AI recently, and acknowledging too that there are some real concerns about AI. So for example, it's that old thing, right, of garbage in, garbage out. And I know there have been some situations, for example, where AI has simply not been able to recognise that someone is in front of them when that person doesn't have white skin, for example. Those kinds of things have happened overseas. So you're very cognizant of that. And in fact, one of the people leading that AI project came and talked to the Pacific People's Advisory Panel this week about the work and stuff like that. So we're very mindful of bias going in, sometimes unconscious, could mean a really biased system that operates badly for a lot of our community. But one of the really cool things that they've told us about recently that Auckland Transport is looking at, so they have all these CCTV cameras, like in train stations, and they use them for all sorts of things, but in particular they use them for safety, to see if someone is getting too close to the tracks. And they've got all these screens up, and you kind of have to be looking at the right screen at the right time. If we can, they're testing some technology around an AI approach where the AI would identify, oh, there's something moving too close to the tracks, and bring that up for the human being who is monitoring those screens, and then they can immediately let a guard know, hey, need to go and help this person. Maybe it's a child who's getting too close to the track. There's a similar thing coming for swimming pools, where potentially, in addition to lifeguards, not replacing them, you might be able to have some cameras that are looking at the pool and can notice when someone is under the water and in trouble, and then that can alert a lifeguard. So I'm quite excited about those kinds of opportunities. But we do need to be really mindful of things like facial recognition, people's privacy, and in particular bias around racism and people who don't necessarily present as stereotypically in terms of gender as well.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry speaking on the surge of homelessness in Auckland and the new Ask Auckland Council AI Digital Assistant.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.